Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, Tuesday, March 27th. And tonight, our theme is going to be guns, guns, guns. What about that? However, we are not holding you to that theme. We know there's a lot going on. So please, if there's a theme you want to speak on, feel free to share it with us tonight. And please remember, this program is about an anatomy of oppression, which requires an anatomy of colonialism, imperialism, and the American capitalist system. As a rule, we don't start off with too many announcements, but we want to commend Jericho for that tremendous program that was given at the Holy Rood Episcopal Church at 179th Street in Manhattan on Saturday evening. It was an incredible program, and I'm pretty sure you will be seeing it on YouTube. In addition, we want to commend the Mamiya program that was there prior to Friday evening. Some of the speakers who spoke on the issue of immigrants and on the issue of racism were fantastic. So I highly recommend that you look for that, the Mamiya program on March the 23rd and the Jericho celebration on March the 24th, both of them at the Hollywood Church, which is a church that deals with amnesty and sanctuary for our immigrants who are being the latest freedom fighters. Without further ado, we want to announce that March the 30th, the Support Mamiya initiative will continue. We are having a special program at 80 St. Mark's Theater on Friday evening, March the 30th, from 5 to 8 p.m. The doors open at 4:30, and this is to continue the Support Mamiya. You will get an update on the March 27th event that took place at the courts in Philadelphia today. In addition to that, we will tell you what you can do to support the court appearance for Mamiya, April the 30th. And last but certainly not least, you will come to hear how we can save WBAI Rising and transforming community media. So we hope that this Friday, after you've had your family dinner, you will stop by the 80 St. Mark's Theater on St. Mark's Place between 1st and 2nd Avenue. Doors open at 4:30. 5 to 8 p.m. is the program. And find out how we can save BAI, how we can save Mamiya. And if you do this, you will be honoring our sister Lynn, who transitioned a year ago, the month of March. Thank you. So without further ado, we're going to go to our usual panelists, and we have a full house tonight, as usual. We want everybody who speaks to be aware of that. Brother Ralph, your mic is open.
Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty. Ralph Pointer, what I believe. The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our labors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, move lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up, now is the time. Now, on this day of March the 27th, 2018, the more things change, the more they stay the same, or they get worse. The media constantly and consistently avoids the reality, history, and the program of European and American imperialism. I call it the American academic hustle, that is, professors, prognosticators, and the always wrong pundits find employment in universities and television studios, lying to us in various manners. We remember Plessy versus Ferguson, which said separate but equal is okay. Then comes Brown versus Board of Education, which says it isn't okay. These are Supreme Court decisions. And then we see the specter of Mayor de Blasio and Governors Cuomo, Democrats and liberals, telling the parole board to violate the law when it comes to people of color practicing self-defense. I'm talking about Herman Bell, who has more than served his time, who never should have been in prison in the first place. We celebrate revolution. We celebrate self-defense, except for people of color. And just this week, we find death again by cell phone. Have we forgotten Amadou Diallo? Death by wallet. Nothing has changed. It is considered criminal by the American Society for People of Color to practice the most basic right, the right of self-defense, and worse, people of color, and I'm talking about the misleadership class and liberals, feel the same way. And I could go on and on about nothing has changed. We must be our own liberators, and none but ourselves, those people who understand that we do not wait for the oppressor to decide when it's time to fight for freedom, and we do not allow the oppressor to tell us how to fight for freedom. The oppressor can only do one thing for us, that is to take their heels off of our necks. And if they can't, we must continue to support those who have taken their heels, those who made the Fraternal Order of Police sit up and take notice that it will no longer continue to be a duck shoot. And what can you and I do? These are words. What can we do? We must support those who took it upon themselves to stand as adults and defend themselves. It is our responsibility to support them. It is our responsibility to support their families. It is our responsibility to support organizations that stand for the right of self-defense. Thank you. I've been getting a notice here. There are many people ready to speak, but know where I stand. Not on my knees, but if you can't say it, you can't do it. Let us speak up for the right of self-defense and the right of our soldiers. No, let us do better. Let us support those who understood and acted in their own self-defense. Sister Betty.
Well, obviously, Brother Ralph, a lot of people must feel the way you feel and felt that way because the place was packed Saturday night when Jericho, the main organization to support our freedom fighters, celebrated their 20th anniversary. I really cannot say enough about that program. And what it showed is if you raise the flag of freedom, the people will salute it. That church had standing room only. And if you had heard Brother Oscar speak, if you had heard Brother Jihad speak, if you had seen the documentary of Sister Sophia Bukati, you would have rejoined the liberation movement. So we're going to veer a little bit from our program tonight. We're going to start with Sister Ann Lamb. First of all, we know she's got to be exhausted, and we don't want her hanging on too long. But we also know she has a lot of updates to give us, and we can't wait to hear them. And once again, I want to remind everybody who hears this broadcast, please come out on March the 30th and help us save BAI, because BAI has had programs about political prisoners from day one, and they have supported Mamiya and given him a voice from day one. Sister Ann Lamb, it is a great pleasure. I say your mic is open.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Betty, and thank you for that glowing report of our anniversary event. I'm not that exhausted. I've had a little time to rest up. Several things are going on that are important. We just found out yesterday, you know, Seth had put in for medical parole, Robert Sethes, and that was denied, of course, because unless you come out with a toe tag, you know, you have to be dead to get medical parole, apparently. So that's some bad news. Of course, he's still focusing on the regular parole hearing in June. In the meantime, of course, the pump monitor thing is still not working properly. Now they finally got the sensors, but they have it wrongly calibrated. He talked to me the other night, and he said, when I think it was Thursday, probably Wednesday morning early, right? The thing was alarming him to tell him, oh, your sugars are dropping, your 80, and they're going down. So he got up. He said, okay, I'll have a few crackers and a little peanut butter. You know, you don't want to have too much sugar because you don't want it to go. Bloop. So he did that, and then he went back to sleep. And then about 5 a.m., it did it again. It said, you're 70 and your sugars are dropping. So he said, okay, I'll get up and I'll eat another little something, the same little small amount. And then when he went to get his 8 o'clock finger stick, it was 341. So obviously the thing is wrongly calibrated, I would assume deliberately, by the death camp doctors. So in addition to, you know, getting the bad news that he's getting the bad
is alive and well in the American prison system.
That's right.
An interruption.
Right. Yeah. So, no, that's fine. So you see, you know, this is, you know, fascism, as we're always saying. That's one of the things fascists do. Is kill people under the guise of, you have to get them in so-called hospitals and kill people, and that's been going on here for a long time. And as everybody knows about Herman, you know, all the backlash about Herman Bell, still go to JerichoNY.org if you haven't ever already called, tweeted, emailed the governor. Please do so. It never hurts. You know, this is really, if they do overturn and rescind this parole, that would really be a horrible precedent, because it would mean the PBA and the mayor and the governor can disregard the law and do whatever they want, which, of course, they do anyway, but we must hold them accountable. Because as long as they can get away with it, they will. And if we don't hold them accountable, who will, right? Also got this lovely letter that was in the New York Times today from a former parole commissioner. And it says the meaning of parole, which would be things that people should think about. To the editor, Ray, parole must mean something. About the New York State Parole Board's decision to grant parole to Herman Bell, who was convicted in the 1971 killings of two police officers. Since my retirement as a commissioner on the board, I have been advocating for the release of long-termers who are now aged or adult but transformed by time and maturity and who pose no risk to the community. I can do this because I'm not concerned about political fallout and my job security. So I congratulate the board for its integrity in granting parole to Mr. Bell. The decision shows that the panel members understand their role. To assess the candidate's risk to the public after the person has served the court-determined sentence and to grant parole with continued supervision in the community unless the parole panel can articulate clearly why the person poses a threat. This job does not include resentencing because of the nature of a crime. Your editorial is entirely correct that vengeance is not supposed to guide a system of justice. Victims who call for eternal lockup should also know that vengeance doesn't heal. Barbara Hanson Treen, Ogunquit, Maine. And I also heard from Kojo, our brother Kojo Bomani Sababu. His prison is on lockdown. So, you know, that makes things more difficult. He was able to shoot at me a little email before it happened. He said, we're going on lockdown. Don't know when I'll be able to talk to you again. So that's happening, you know, in that death camp. And as people know, I think Mutulu Shakur is going up to the parole board in April. So, you know, that's another thing that we have to be vigilant about in the federal system. He was already illegally denied once and, you know, should have been released after his 30 years. And we hope that he will be coming home, and people should look for news about that and pay attention if you see anything pertaining to Dr. Shakur. So all that is happening in addition, of course, to what Sister Betty already reported about what's happening with Mumia and the thing that went on today in the court. So, you know, we have to really be vigilant at this time because they are furious. They are furious. The enemy is furious. And if they don't get their way, you know, Herman has already been threatened by Patrick Lynch of the PBA. Physically threatened. We're going to find you, wherever you are. As if, you know, as we know, they just blow people away every day, and they do it with impunity. And they're just the people who killed that man down in New Orleans. The two cops have just been told they will not be prosecuted by the state. So, you know, this is serious stuff going on here. So we really need to be vigilant. Yeah, business as usual.
And we must...
yeah. You must
we
stop
must
it.
Guys, blow back. The PBA is going to threaten people by being blown away. There's only one answer. Blow back.
Right.
Ralph, interesting.
Thanks, Ralph.
Sorry, Ann.
No, that's okay. I was just about finished briefly. Thought our event was very nice. I was happy to see so many people there. Hopefully that we will get some new folk to join in. We did get some folk who had drifted away to come back because Safia Bukhari was so powerful and so wonderful, And as people were saying, oh, people forgot about Saab. I was like, how could anybody? I don't know if everybody heard Mumia's commentary and what he had to say about Safia Bukhari, but I will be putting it up on JerichoNY.org. It's a little audio commentary, almost 3 minutes. Excellent. And people should listen to that, because those who did not have the privilege of knowing Safia and working with Safia have no idea what they missed. That woman was a platoon all by herself. She came out of prison, she hit the ground running, and she worked until she died for our political prisoners. And I could even say she worked so hard that she did die. And that is, you know, the woman gave her life for the struggle. And, you know, we will never forget that, those of us who knew her and loved her. And we will always continue. As also Blanco said in his little, you know, in his message to us in the journal, he said, well, if we have to do this for another 20 years, let's rock and roll. So we're ready to rock and roll. Free land.
Thank you so much for that, Ann. And I will always remember Safia Bukhari's speech on avoiding fear.
Yes.
She says, I never fear again. It rings in my mind. Everyone should listen to that speech. But, Sister Betty.
Oh, Sister Ann, we want to thank you for that tremendous program and for the role that Jericho has played with our political prisoners. Between you and Sister Paulette, it has been a story of what we mean when we say freedom ain't free. Somewhere,
right.
Somebody is paying, and therefore we all have to put something back.
And Sister Ann, you are always my award winner when we talk about freeing political prisoners. And you are numero uno. And there's no piece of paper that I could give you that would reflect that with justice. Thanks again, Ann.
Thank you.
All right. Without further ado, we're going to resume our usual schedule. And this is the next brother who is tireless and unstoppable, no matter what path obstructions he faces. He always manages to be there and be on time. I'm referring, of course, to Brother Larry Pinckney,
yeah.
Black Panther and former political prisoner. And I have a message for you, Brother Larry, from Sister Paulette Datul. She apologizes for the miscommunication, and she wanted me to email her contact information because she cannot express enough her gratitude and appreciation for your offer of assistance. So without further ado, your mic is open, Brother Larry Pinckney.
Thank you, my sister. It is much appreciated, Sister Betty Davis, Sister Professor Betty Davis, and our dear, dear, onward striding brother, Ralph Pointer. All power to the people.
All
power to the people. Let me say, first of all, thank you for that wonderful message from Sister Paulette. Let me say on this show right now, I did get your message, Sister Professor Betty, and I will be definitely contacting her very, very soon. And I just want to thank her for that message. And all power to the people, the struggle continues. I know that she is a very strong supporter of political prisoners, as am I. And in this case, the political prisoner that she is emphasizing upon is Brother Leonard Peltier. And Brother Leonard has been in prison since 1976. And by the way, I said 1976. Folks who are listening, this is 2018.
Right.
Okay? 2018. I want y'all to think about that. All right? And so I want to extend my respectful gratitude to Sister Paulette and to everyone, not just to Paulette, but to everyone who are supporting our political prisoners, be they black, white, brown, red, or yellow. You know, And because in so doing, as I say on every show, by supporting our political prisoners, we are supporting ourselves. Now, I want to say this very quickly. By the way, Leonard Peltier has some shirts, that's T-shirts. I just want to mention that. I almost forgot it. That actually show Leonard's face on the front of the show, on the front of the shirt. And anyway, we can go back to that later. But, you know, Brother Leonard, we cannot forget him, or Seth Hayes, or Momia, or, I mean, we could go on to scores of others. But let me just say this right now. I support the FOP. What? You support the FOP? No, y'all got it wrong. That's not the Fraternal Order of Police. I support the FOP called the Fraternal Order of the People.
There you go.
Hello. The Fraternal Order of the People. FOP. Let's get it right.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. Well, I just want to get it right. The FOP, the real FOP, the Fraternal Order of the People.
Do you have an update for us on that?
Well, I just wanted to just point out that I am hoping that everyone will go to Jericho and look up the latest with Leonard. Leonard Peltier is dealing with some very, very serious medical problems, all right?
Yes.
And I'm an old dude myself, all right? And I understand that. I was in prison, Ocala prison, with Leonard. And that's neither here nor there. What is here and there right now is that I'm asking everyone, our indigenous native brothers and sisters were here before we were. You dig it?
Yep.
And we need to understand that they must be supported. And Brother Leonard did this. And by the way, just want to just throw this in for whatever it's worth. Leonard didn't kill nobody.
He did not
kill FBI. He did not kill anybody else. And the ballistic results, results show that. But, of course, our system would not dare put it out, but it is out there. Just go on the internet. But that's really beside the point.
Okay, Brother Larry, we've got to go on because we've got some other political prisoners that we have to do reports on.
Well, thank you. I'm really appreciative. All power to the people. Free our political prisoners. Free them all. Free them now. Thank you so much.
Sister Paulette is waiting to speak with you. She wants to speak with you and strategize with you. Because as you pointed out,
it's great.
Okay.
Great.
Brother Turner, your mic is open. And Brother Joel, we're going to have you come on next. Brother Matt Turner.
Okay, Raymond. Okay, this is called Rogue States. Nuclear bullies roaring for war through the mouth of its dinosaur. At war ever since its bloody birth, now threatening the entire earth. Boom, 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 rogue state. Boom, 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 warlike dead weight. Boom, 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 boom. You annihilate. Boom, 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 boom. Subjugate. Boom, 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 boom. Expropriate. Boom, 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 boom. You devastate. Boom, 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 boom. Down, down. Rogue state. Boom, 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 boom. Land of the inmate. assassinate. Dum, 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 dum. You intimidate. Dum, 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 dum. Rogue state, we don't know for sure. Dum. We think revolution's the cure. Dum, 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 dum. Rogue state, dum, 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 dum. Land of apartheid. Boom, 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 boom. Home of race hate. Boom, 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 boom. Where whites tailgate. Boom, 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 boom. And hallucinate. Boom, 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 boom. Blacks somnambulate. Boom, 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 boom. Rogue state. Boom, 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 boom. Bombs detonate. Boom, 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 boom. Make peoples immigrate. Boom, 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 boom. You discriminate. Boom, 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 boom. You're not great. Boom, 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 boom. Really third rate. Boom, 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 boom. Rogue state, we don't know for sure. We think revolution's the cure.
All righty, one more time. Rogue state, dead weight, annihilate, subjugate, devastate, inmate, incarcerate, infiltrate. Oh, wonderful. You're going to have to print that one out so I can have it and read it
he
again.
Does.
You did print it out? Okay.
Put it online.
Thank you so much for that. Sister Betty reminded me that it is online and is wonderful as always. Thank you again, my brother, and I hope I will see you Friday evening so that you can pass out more wisdom poetically to the people who show up for the event. Thanks again, Sister Betty.
All right, as promised, we have a lot of people who have a lot to report to us. We're not holding them to the theme of the guns, as you can tell. And once again, I want to remind people what Larry said. Please get on the website for Leonard Peltier, and you need to know that Leonard Peltier has two strong warriors who have his back, Paulette Datul of Jericho and Brother Larry Pinckney of the Black Activist Writers Guild. Without further ado, Brother Joel Myers, your
Sister
mic
Betty?
Is open.
Sister
yes,
Betty?
Dear.
I just
yes.
wanted to say, if people don't
yes,
know, Leonard's website is whoisleonardpeltier.info.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Say it again, Anne. Say it again.
All one word, whoisleonardpeltier.info. And there's
that's
a lot
the
of information. That's Leonard's website, yeah.
Thank you. That's what Brother Larry Pinckney is referring to. Okay,
yes.
Brother Joe, we apologize. Please continue. We heard you.
Oh, yes, hello. Well, this week we've been subjected to a lot of coverage. There was a march in Washington and I believe in 80 other cities virtually presented as a children's crusade.
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands of people marching. I don't know if that's the real number, it's what the media tell us, and we can never trust what we hear in the media. But it seems I remember when in the protests against the Vietnam War, against the war in Iraq, against the war in Afghanistan, and so on, upwards of 1 million people protested in Washington, D.C. and around the country. And guess what? There was no coverage at all in the major media.
Right.
Maybe 3 column inches in the New York Times on page 23 or something like that. This was on the front page of every major media in the country, whether it was newspapers, newscasts, or on the part of the Internet, which is influenced by the same media. And the theme of this was gun control. And I think that we really have to reflect, because it's a major campaign. Even many people on the left that I've spoken to have told me that they support gun control now after what happened in Parkland, Florida. And we're presented with another spectacle that was supposed to interpret to mean that we should give up our whatever arms we might have, give up even the mentality of being armed, and give up a major portion of self-defense if armed forces are coming at us. And armed forces are coming at us. The theme of the broadcast here is about political prisoners. Most of those political prisoners were people who stood up in resistance to the government, some stood up in arms and asserted their constitutional rights according to the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms. And the intent of much of that at the time was, after the experience of Lexington and Concord and the armed tyranny of the British soldiers, after driving them out, they didn't want a tyranny to arise here and have the same form of relief, because growing out of the revolution that threw the British out, there was a mentality of not trusting people in government. And I think that Thomas Jefferson, I don't endorse him as a slave owner or anything, but in some of his best hypocrisy, he did say that when the people fear the government, you have a tyranny. And when the government fears the people, you have a democracy. I believe it words to that effect. And
That's right.
That so and this is something that's self-evident. You know, I saw one article where it said it is also a tremendous campaign to convince the left to support gun control.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the left does, I think, over-identify with nonviolence, because it was successful to some degree as a tactic, and I think many people who are also anti-war sort of raise nonviolence to a principle, and in effect they de-emphasize or even bury the right of self-defense. And
that's
self-defense
right.
is not really fully possible against an armed mm-hmm. force unless you have arms that are even roughly equal to it. For example, many people say, well, okay, people shouldn't be allowed to have AR-15s. Maybe they should be allowed to have hunting rifles. But if the people don't have AR-15s, what happens when a police force or an army, which is mobilized by a tyrannical government, comes at you with AR-15s? It means
mm-hmm.
that you have a difficulty in defending yourself. Now, at the time that the Second Amendment was written, they didn't have AR-15s. They had flintlocks. And the Second Amendment would read, if that kind of mentality were behind it, it would say that a well-regulated militia, being necessary for the security of a free state, must be armed with flintlocks, but the right of the people to keep and bear pea shooters and slingshots will not be abridged unless you apply for a permit and pass the screening test and everything else by the people with the AR-15s. Now the thing is that it's not just a question of one of the articles that I read, it said that the right wing supports gun rights. And this is because supposedly guns were, the way the article is written, it's supposed to appeal to people on the left. So it says that gun rights were originally used to keep slaves at gunpoint and to kill native peoples and
to
steal their land. That's largely true, but it's not the whole truth. And it's stated in a manipulative way so that the listener thinks, well, I better support gun control, otherwise I'll be I'll be siding with the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazi Party and the squaw killers that used guns for that purpose. But people ignore the fact that the victims of those racists and tyrants and government, whether it's a government tyranny or a racist terrorist group like the Ku Klux Klan or the Nazi Party, the people that are the intended targets and victims have to be able to defend themselves against them. So the article also goes on to say that these people on the right think that power comes from guns rather than from large concentrations of wealth. So again, it almost sounds like a Marxist argument that if you're a Marxist and you know that that the ruling class is based on control of wealth and all of this stuff, then you should be for gun control. Unlike those rightists who think that it comes from a gun barrel. But I can think of another Marxist who said directly, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. And that was Mao Zedong. And he led a revolution in the country of the largest population of the world. And guess what? They armed themselves to do it. They didn't do it based on asking the government that was tyrannizing them to disarm them. And that's what it's a very manipulative thing that's going on right now. And people, it's not just about having necessarily possessing arms, but it goes to the mentality that an unarmed population feeds back into itself as a helpless, defenseless, victimized population that's doomed to be victimized and can't fight back in any real way. But actually, self-defense is a very important principle to keep in mind at the current time. And even though, a lot of people say, well, you can't defend yourself against the army or the police or something like that. They're so strong and so on. But you know what? The Vietnamese did it, and they won.
Yes.
The Cuban people did it, and they won. And if you don't have that mentality, you can't even begin to think to fight back to defend yourself. And another point of that is that the military, and I guess to a lesser extent the police, given the historical experience, in the long run, they respect people that defend themselves in a strong way and do their best to equalize what the force is coming at them. And over the long run, this is what brings about a mutiny among the police and the military and brings more arms over to the side of the people, which is very often a decisive moment in any revolution. So, again, the revolution is not to be looked at as a pejorative thing or a criminal act. This is, I guess, another quote from Thomas Jefferson was that that the tree of liberty has to be watered with the blood of tyrants from time to time. And
in the long run, we've
seen that cycle again and again and again in history, and we know that our society locally is not exempt from the dynamics of history and the cycle of tyranny and enslavement and then revolution and freedom and liberty and I think the next phase of freedom is the rule of the working and oppressed people. And the name usually given to it is socialism, meaning the putting first of the people rather than capitalism, which means wealth über alles. So
well, Joel,
I thank you for
you've
that,
given us about five lessons this evening. Let's give people an opportunity to digest that wonderful information that you've given us, and we will look forward to getting more next week. This is so much to digest in a few moments. We're going to move on to the next speaker, and I say thank you, Teacher Joel Myers. Thanks.
All right, we want to move on. I'm waiting, and we have Brother Rocco and Sister Gwen. So we're going to go with Brother Tom.
Greetings, everyone. As Joel pointed out, there is significant change going on in this country, especially under the Trump administration, despite the ability of the ruling class to brainwash everybody. The contradictions of capitalism have gotten so sharp and so obvious that there are mass movements going on, such as high school students saying enough is enough. We will not put up with being slaughtered anymore in order for the gun lobby to make money. The women's movement, enough is enough. We will not put up with being harassed and abused anymore by male chauvinists. And I hope that this movement will include the release of all our political prisoners, that this will become also a mass movement. Now, I'd like to say a few words about the hypocrisy of this country right from the very beginning. When we saw that in the Declaration of Independence with the statement, all men are created equal. Of course, Thomas Jefferson could not have said what he really meant, all white men are created equal, because he had to come up with a statement that was in was part of the universal rights of men during the Enlightenment, so he couldn't really say the truth. Now, the same thing with the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, as Joel pointed out, that the people have the right to bear arms. What really the Second Amendment means is white men have the right to bear arms. And so we go on and on and on about the hypocrisy. But this hypocrisy is becoming more and more obvious to more and more people. And I must say that it's not enough for the government to fear the people, because that doesn't automatically lead to a more democratic system. It could lead to out-and-out fascism as well. What is needed, in my opinion, is that the people do not fear the government. And I see that happening more and more, and it's the hope that I have that the majority of people will be able to get over the brainwashing of the ruling class. They get over their fears and challenge the system, because that's the root of the whole problem. Nothing good can come. No reform can come under capitalism, because capitalism is based upon a plutocracy that puts profit ahead of everything else. So nothing good can come of that system. But we do see mass movements developing, and that's what I put my hope in. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Tom. And I do hope that these mass movements will develop into something meaningful, because controlling guns has never been the issue. As you said, the only question is, do white men get guns too young? Because they have always denied the right of people of color to have guns. But, Sister Betty.
Thank you. Brother Rocco, your mic is open. And Sister Gwen, you will come right after Brother Rocco. Brother Rocco, your mic is open.
Hi, good evening, everybody. I guess it was just related to what Tom was just saying and about the, you know, guns. It's a system problem, because guns, you know, they're as American as apple pie in this country. You know, this country is the gun culture of the world. I mean, I remember as a child, I was watching Hollywood movies, watching Clint Eastwood blow people away. And the irony of it is, we're walking out of the theater thinking he's the hero. So it's in our blood. It's in our bones. You know, so this whole protest about taking automatic and semi-automatic rifles off the streets, and is that going to, you know, have a decline in gun violence? I don't think so. You take this, the idea about examining somebody's background before he buys a gun, and that's supposed to drop the gun violence. So I was just, my I guess it was related to Tom before, was he, it was more of a systematic thing, how we do away with the whole system, because, but gun violence is definitely a serious problem, but of course it's not the problem. Thank you very much, and peace to all.
Thank you so much for that, Rocco. And now we go to Gwen. We're looking forward to hearing what you have for us this week.
Hi, Ralph. Hi, everybody. How are you? I wanted to say that first I want to thank Joel for really giving a lot of information that I think is very relevant. I don't feel that I feel very skeptical about the current protests, because when I look behind the scenes at the money, for example, Mayor Bloomberg is sponsoring an awful lot of this, the money. And when I also see all of this ending up on the talk shows in the morning, it's on the TV, it seems very suspect to me, because I remember when I was in the anti-war movement and we fought against the Iraq War, and there were more than 1 million people there at that first protest, and I remember going home and it barely showed up. And I also remember that much of the film at Occupy Wall Street didn't make it onto the air. Only the negative things made it out there, but nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at this and you look at how well organized it is, I just am a little bit suspect about it. And I want to ask people, is this the president? Is this the president that you want to give up your right to bear arms under? You are looking at, to me, one of the most dangerous presidents we've ever had. Okay, this man he's itching to be a dictator. All right, so just remember that Hitler was very clear when he came out with his statement about getting rid of the guns in Germany and how it was going to make everything safer and more wonderful for people, and then he began in earnest, really, really gathering up people to slaughter them. And I just feel that if we were going to get rid of guns, why on earth would we ever do it under this particular president? It's very, very scary to me. And the other thing that's really bothering me is that, I'm sorry, but these shootings are very strange. All of these shootings have some things that just don't sit right with me. And I am still pondering them. And I am sorry, but, I mean, in the school shooting in Florida, six newspapers reported that the incident happened on the 12th. Well, the incident happened on the 14th. It didn't happen on the 12th.
That's
and,
right.
You know, after 9/11 and the way that went off without a hitch, I think this government became even more bold. And so I just think that before we just throw our whole body and soul into something, I think the intention of the movement is wonderful. I really do. And I think the children are beautiful. And I wish that this was a peaceful country. But we are living under a very, very dangerous president right now. And so I just think that we need to think twice, very, very carefully about, is this the time you want to do this? And I just want to say one other thing. You know, when I see that moose, Chris Christie, get on TV, that's actually being kind, talking about opioid abuse and all of a sudden how we're going to handle this and we're going to take care of this. You know, I kept looking behind the curtain to see what's really motivating this, because you know what? The state doesn't care about getting people off opioids unless there's something in it for them. And I saw a very interesting movie this weekend called The Unsane. And I remember that when my husband died and I went to the VA for grief treatment, grief therapy, that they immediately started asking me about suicide. Well, you know, you do feel very bad after your loved one dies. But then they got very specific and asking me if I knew what kind of weapon I wanted to use, and it was just too weird, and I didn't answer that. But when I got into the next therapist, she told me, you know, had you answered that a different way, we would have hauled you off today. And I was like, oh, my God, you know.
God.
Well, I talked to a girlfriend of mine whose husband also recently died, and when I told her about what happened to me at the VA, she said to me, well, I guess I answered the question the wrong way because they did take me away. And so what people need to be aware of, that most people aren't aware of, is that there's an awful lot of insurance money that is to be made when you lock people up. And I noticed the interarguments are here about gun control. One is about mental illness, and then there's the guns over here. Well, one of the things that happens is when you start getting the so-called treatment that you need, that we're giving out to people, it's a four-week requirement that you stay in a mental hospital, 4 weeks at least, to get for opioid treatment. And the deal is this, is that they want you in there as long as your insurance will pay. The minute your insurance stops paying, you get booted to the curb. And so that's what's behind this, is the tremendous amount of money. Now, what's really troubling to me is it looks like it's going to be another prison industrial complex. In other words, we're going to use the mental health system the way we've used the prison industrial complex. We're going to pack them in there, as many people as we possibly can, because Wall Street has to keep going. And so I just think people should be very, very wary when you hear people like Chris Christie or President Trump come out and start discussing the opioid epidemic in America. Yes, there is an opioid epidemic, but to me, we do not have to cure it by locking people up indefinitely in mental hospitals so they can keep getting paid back by the insurance company. This is a very unhealthy way of making money. So I would subscribe to tell people that the only way that I've ever seen anybody ever be able to kick any addiction is through the 12-step programs of AA and NA, and these programs are completely free, open 24 hours a day, and all over the United States. That's the only way to do it. You don't need money to do it. You just need the willingness to do it. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Information, analysis.
The most challenging jobs, teaching the young, so while being woefully underpaid. The recent Trump calling for the arming of teachers in the face of high-powered massacres in school betrays a profound what teachers do, who they are. Good teachers are people who sacrificed considerable amounts of money to do what they love, teaching for people who they love, kids. Are teachers going to be armed with automatic weapons to confront young men with semi-automatic weapons? But it does give into the paranoid, the Trumpists, who want to militarize teachers in a dystopian fortress America. Want resources like better books, better computers, or, heaven forbid, better pay. They get slapped down by the same politicians now demanding they be equipped with Glocks or AR-15s. This is madness. Teachers aren't commandos, nor should they be asked to be. Can you imagine the dangerous potential kids may face with armed, stressed teachers, overworked, underpaid, and disrespected? It's not easy to teach, but it's infinitely rewarding when students discover the joy of learning. Yes, teachers need help doing what they do, but not more weapons of war. They need books, space, respect, and better pay. Such things as this are not on the table. From imprisoned nations, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Keep us apart.